Sunday Meditation, February 15th, 2004. The question today has to do with changes of various kinds, whether it's changing a job or an attitude or invoking a new presence of joy, peace, and harmony. We're wondering, when we attempt these changes, when we make efforts in the third density illusion to bring these changes about, how do we know when we're being successful? Is there a predetermined path or way made for us already? Or is this a choice we make from moment to moment, totally of our own free will? How can we know exactly if we're on the beam or not?
We are those of the principle known to you as the Kuo. And we greet you with full hearts and happy spirits in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator in whose service we are. We thank you, each of you, for joining this circle of seeking today. It is our delight to be called to your group. And we would ask, as always, simply that you use your discrimination carefully in listening to our thoughts. For as we share them, we need you to know that we are not authorities but fellow seekers, and that we share opinion rather than proven fact. Please take those thoughts that you like from what we have to say and leave the rest behind. That will enable us to speak without being concerned that we infringe upon your free will. It is well carefully to guard those portals wherein information is taken in, for that which is believed is so. And when that which is believed is sufficiently different from that which is the more natural pattern of truth, the distortion can be difficult to comprehend and difficult to perceive, and therefore difficult to extricate oneself from. Indeed, this is a portion of that which you were asking this day for. You have asked about change and how to know when the appropriate change is manifesting, and how to go about making sure that the changes are indeed appropriate in the pattern of your incarnation. This instrument was speaking with the one known as Bruce concerning the piece of the Creator's creation, which she calls Avalon. The one known as Bruce was saying that he had spoken with Avalon in that voice that has no words but expresses emotion and feeling. And he felt that the land itself had been somewhat abused in the past, misused and used too hard, so that the soil was depleted of those nutrients that it would wish to have in order to support life, that it had been neglected and abandoned. And consequently, it was shy of humans and somewhat distrustful. It had not occurred to this instrument that it was a two-way street, for in this instrument's trusting and somewhat childlike way, she relates to all things and all qualities as though they were all very glad to see her. And in consequence, that is indeed the reaction of the land called Avalon to the one known as Carla. It is delighted to see this sprightly spirit and delighted to relate with her in any way she wishes. However, this instrument has not attempted to plant, nor has it asked of Avalon that which it wishes. And indeed, this is something to think about when looking at a change that is large enough that it cannot entirely be imagined. When the question is asked, what do you want? Or what do I want? The question throws the thinking mind back into the world of form and not into the world of substance. However, if a question is asked of the present moment, what does it want? What does the life situation at this moment want of me? That is a blind and non-intellectual question. And consequently, it has a good possibility of reaping a harvest of some sense. But that sense may well be a sense of substance rather than a sense of the form of the appropriate path to take. When the question is opened up so that it is clear that there is a relationship between the self and the creation, it enlists the cooperation of the creation, which is, of course, an extension of the self, just as the self is an extension of the creation, and just as both are holographic in nature, reflecting the creator. It is known by those in this circle that we have often said that all is one thing. And yet, when you relate to the outer world, that seemingly outer world of consensus reality, consciously including it in the decision-making process and asking it what it wishes, the question is made whole in a very special way. And it is well to consult not only the inner self, but that outer self that is the system of mirrors that reflects the Creator to you. That is, the outer creation, the earth which you inhabit, the people which are your companions upon its surface. These energies and essences also have life, sentience, and will. And when cooperation is asked, it is immediately received. Then it is a question of continuing to listen, continuing to ask, and continuing to have this living and protean dialogue that penetrates all forms and moves into the world of substance. The nature of coincidence or synchronicity, or the unfolding of fate, if you will, is such that the more cooperation is asked and expected on a continuing basis, the more rich the sources of information will be that are eager to share information with you. We have spoken many times about the fact that information can come through the natural world, and indeed very often does come through animals and elements that are in sync with the energy fields of your bodies, of your intentions, and of your hopes. So let us look at the area of intention and hope. There are two in this group, that is, three entities and two concerns, which concern an actual commitment of the self to a job or a new business. And there are two other concerns within this group which have to do with attempting to create from nothing a network or a cooperative or a collaboration which is of a mixed nature, being partially spiritual and partially worldly. The process of visioning or envisioning is important. From the business standpoint, of course, it is well known that one may go through a planning process in which the questions are asked of the self concerning what goals are intended, what resources come to the table to promote those goals, and so forth. It is perhaps less well understood that the same process must be followed with the environment about one and with the energies surrounding the present moment. The nexus of each present moment for each person is the self. This is why truth is so infinitely individual and personal. One is always coming from that place in Thales stream that has never been walked in before. The present moment finds each of you and each of us in a new world. It has taken eons and densities and many, many incarnations and teachers and thoughts to bring each of us, each of you, to this precise tuning with which you greet this present moment. Consequently, your world is brand new. And nothing can be taken for granted. So it is well to look at this new world of the present moment with new eyes, innocent of supposition, and without the blinders of cynicism and manic zeal, resting, relaxing, and moving into the center of self. Move with us, if you will, in the clockwise motion about the circle, feeling the energy of the group moving, growing, and forming a temple of light about you. Now, continue that exercise, but move only within the orbit of your being. And feel the part of the temple of the group that you are. Feel that smaller temple whose light moves into the group energy. Now move deeper and deeper within that holy and sacred space within until you come to the very center of that being that you are, and rest there. Stop. And sense into that quiet, living center of self, which is your heart. Here is your place of rest, recuperation, and healing. Here is your place to reach out your hand to the Creator and to feel its hand in yours before the reaching has ever been done. This is the center of your connection to guidance, truth, and stability. Were we never to speak with you another word, were there no perceived authority to offer wisdom, this center of self would be entirely sufficient to guide you in terms of that which your desires for this incarnation were before you ever came into the experience of life with its hectic breath and its beating heart. And we may say, because of this instrument's allergies, its itching nose. Before all of the sensations of life, the center is the place of rest and the platform from which one may spring into action, spring into expanded being, spiral into those lessons to be learned and those services to be performed. When one is able to come to the center of self and rest, then one is much more able to ask in that sacred space what lies before me, what is right action, what shall I see that will enable me to have more of a sense of who I am and why I am here. When you open your eyes from this prayer, we would ask you to be open to guidance. Keep a paper and pencil handy, ready to jot down those things that come to you in this particular moment, after this particular time of centering and resting. And when you get up from such a rest, keep the center open, even as you become active again in the world of consensus reality. The creation is ready to expand into those areas which fascinate you, which draw you. It is sensitive to all kinds of energy. So if there are conflicts within your desires, these will show up in the seeming cross purposes and athwartship's nature of the hints and the inklings that your guidance seems to be giving you. Consequently, there is contemplation involved in attempting to discern right action and right being. Contemplation of what cross purposes there may be. If there is a dynamic where things seemingly are partially indicating one path and partially indicating another, rest and sit with that dynamic, letting the mind relax away from forms into substance, and looking at some of the underlying issues which might surround and inform this dynamic. Allow time for this procedure. Ask not simply on one day or on one occasion, and assume that you have received the full wisdom that is available. There is a continual questing for those who wish to remain in the center of their beings. For you move on, the stream of time moves on, and the spiral of evolution moves on, so that each day there is new information, there are new metamorphoses to be contemplated. And there are what this instrument has come to call distortion leavings to be released. Often, that which muddies the picture for those questing for right action or right being is an over-affection for the pain, the pleasure, or the shape in general of the past. Those things that have affected one in the past for weal or for woe. It is just as important to release the self from past excellent experiences as it is to release the self from past misery and suffering. Does the good time in the past create or add into the reality of your present moment? If so, why? Does the pain and the sorrow that are remembered from past experiences affect in a living and breathing way the present moment for you? Ask yourself why. It is important to release that which has been harvested in terms of catalyst and experience. It is a natural thing to take in the food of catalyst and to digest it and work with it and get the good out of it. It is equally important to release the distortion leavings of these experiences from the system. Otherwise, they may well clog the system, making it impossible for your evolutionary energy body to absorb the nutrients of experience and be ready to take in more. If there is any lack of hunger for new things, it is entirely possible that it is because that which has been thoroughly and completely digested in one's life has not yet been eliminated from the system. When the value of the excellent times and the difficult times of one's past has been completely appreciated, it then becomes far easier to release these experiences. Releasing negative experiences is especially important in many cases in terms of creating the possibility for fearlessness. When an entity has been bound into a contraction around any issue by fear, it becomes much more difficult to see clearly the colors and shapes of this issue and its resolution. This instrument experienced recently a visit to the Cathedral of Chartres in France, and she sat at the very center of a glyph, which in that enormous sacred space takes up perhaps half a football field in its actual size. It is a round maze, and its walking is considered a sacred practice. But at the very center of that maze is a blinding point of light, which this instrument was quick to feel. The achieving of that center is the achieving of a stable place of rest, a stable point of view from which leverage may be applied in any direction, spiritually or metaphysically speaking. And so much about knowing when one is on the right track or on the beam, as the one known as Vara has said, is engaged in this pre-mental attitude, something that moves below the surface of thoughts and ideas. It is a matter of preparing the place upon which the sacred decisions, heartfelt decisions, will be made. Moving into the sacredness of that, grounding oneself in that sacred place, and letting in the light, so that one is literally on the beam. That beam being the light that has been called from guidance, from what this instrument would call the Holy Spirit, or from the higher self, as many have called it, from that place of inpouring light. A place to stand, a place to rest, when calling for the light is extremely helpful. We would perhaps say that in terms of knowing when you are on the beam, there is a talent in being able to look without looking, to know without knowing, and to walk between worlds. It is a lifting away from assumption, a lifting away from presupposition, and an opening into the possibilities that's around the moment. These possibilities are literally infinite. But which is that direction which calls? Which is that direction which wants you as much as you wish it? It is a matter of asking and asking again, centering and asking, centering and asking, until the life process contains the centering and the asking, the centering and the asking, far beyond even a habit and more into a way of breathing life in and breathing life out. Ask, rest, ask, rest, as a way of being, so that you are asking yourself to open to the sense of rightness, the sense of resonance that you may get through your body in any of your senses, within your heart, in various energy centers, in those signs and wonders which mean something subjectively to you personally. When the asking has become a part of the breathing and the resting has become a part of the out-breath and the time between breaths, then you have entered a state of mind, a way of being that has the best possibility of bringing to you a richer load or harvest of information concerning the issue about which you are asking. Sometimes it is a very subtle thing and occurs over a period of time, while in other cases there are sudden and sharp epiphanies in which whole systems of the future are seen for the first time in wonderful delineation. It is never known ahead of time what pattern shall emerge from the chaos of asking without expectation. Yet when it comes, there is that sense of a converging pattern that will let you know that the pieces, as the one known as Steve said, seem to be coming together. Chaos seems to be melting into a certain quantum, a certain situation that has, to say it one way, the blessing of guidance, to say it another way, the resonance of a good pattern that fits within those parameters of your incarnation, which you set up before birth. It is not that there is a fate laid out for you. The possibilities are always infinite. It is that you have created for yourself what this instrument would loosely call a mission, a personal plan of service and learning. And when that mission is being materially addressed with whatever success, there is a sense of being in the right place that is unmistakable. Wait for that sense and do not attempt to think it into place or feel it into place or in any way force the swirling mists to clear. if there is to be a misty and mysterious time, enjoy it as you would a great snowstorm or a downpouring and enriching summer rain. The vision goes away, but the heavens have opened to give life-giving moisture to the dry and thirsty soil. Sometimes a great deal of the moisture of spiritual water must come and for a time blind the vision. And it is then that faith is a powerful support. That faith that all is well. It is not a faith that things will turn out appropriately, because things actually never turn out. You may have noticed this quality of life. They spiral continuously, moving through many scenes and moods. Nothing ends. Or, to put it another way, everything ends. And the story moves on without missing a beat. There is no grand finale. There is no denouement. There is simply the ongoing spiral of light and dark, laughter and tears, suffering and joy. Yet beneath all of those experiences, surrounding all of that seemingly outward miasma, confusion, there remains always the place of center to which you may go. It is the closest thing to you. You may amputate arms and legs and not lose your center. You may glow incandescent as a candle, without clothing, without occupation, with only the consciousness with which you came into the world of consensus reality, and you will have that center. That center that links you to all that is, to all that has been, and all that will be. All you need is in that center. Perhaps that is the fundamental message we have to share this day. Rest and know. All is love. All is one. All is well. You are magical beings, my friend. You are not at risk, as it may seem that you are in terms of a physical life. You are citizens of eternity. But you are in a very precious and hard-won place. You have cast aside all else because you felt that this incarnation was important enough to invest your eternal self in, to go through a good deal of inconvenience and suffering, just so that you might improve the balance of your own personality and serve in the consensus reality about you, to fulfill goals which you have set long ago. Goals that have to do with being helpful. Rest in the knowledge that these things are in place and that there are many, many sources of information that are very dedicated to communicating with you and with the groups with which you associate. Notice those groups about you. For this instrument, it has been a year or more of very obvious building up of the group. But in all of the years of this instrument's life, there has been that same process going on. And in each of those in this circle this day, this process has been taking place. And gradually, the currents of self and other self have circled and spiraled until each has met each, and each has been drawn into this group on this day. Each entity that you meet is a portion of a group, a soul group, as the one known as Steve has called it, or a group of those who have often incarnated together to work together and to serve together. So when you are touching entities, you are touching the groups with which they are involved. And you are binding yourself and others in streams of love and mutual hope and ideal. As you go about your daily life and as you meet each entity, see the relationship in its deeper terms and know that energies are involved that are far, far below the level of one's awareness. They may be sensed and they may be followed, but they may usually not be understood. Follow those relationships and consider the relationship and your part in it, in each case, looking for the ways to support and encourage each other. For there are higher selves involved in each of these groups as well, and higher hopes that each of these groups may have in terms of the service of the members of that group to the planet and its people. Trust this network to be there and expect to meet old friends as you move through the days ahead. Above all, sharpen the engines with which you move through life by offering yourself the solace of meditation. Time in the silence cannot be overrated for returning one to that precious center, what the one known as Gary would call a power now. For some, meditation is a wonderful and uplifting thing. For others, it is simply a drag, as this instrument would say, a difficult and time-consuming chore. Whatever it is for you, it still is helping you to indulge in it. If it is difficult to meditate in the traditional sense of settling the self in one place and invoking silence within, then we encourage enlisting the help of Gaia, as the one known as Bruce. Enlisting the help of Gaia, as the one known as Bruce calls the planet upon which you dwell. Walk within its precincts and allow the trees and the wind and the small animals to soothe you, to connect with you, and to bring you back to that precious center. This instrument informs us that we need at this time to open the meeting to questions. Are there questions at this time beyond that which we have spoken?
Well, I'm not sure of how exactly it is that the quarantine works around this planet, but working within those principles, is it possible that an entity or a group of entities incarnate could request and create a physical meeting with beings of an extraterrestrial nature or higher density beings of a positive nature on this planet?
We are those of Kuko and are aware of your query, my brother. We do not choose to give this instrument any information upon this point for two reasons. Firstly, attempts of this nature create an energy that we do not consider particularly desirable. Secondly, the attempt to create such a meeting is much like sending out a CQ on a ham radio. The entities, however, who are monitoring these particular ham radio, shall we say, bands, are for the most part negative. The infringement upon free will in giving further information is such that we find that we are not able to speak further. However, we would say this. The energies of the one known as Bruce have already brought to you, the one known as Gary, experiences of meetings with entities that are not human and are certainly very positive. And we speak now of those entities on Avalon, which this instrument is often called Devas, and which have a great deal of life and reality of their own. This kind of open questing is quite desirable, and we would recommend that instead of attempting to meet an extraterrestrial, you simply attempt to meet the many, many entities around you which you have not yet been acquainted with. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, that was cool. I don't think I or anybody else has big plans to do so. I was just more to save my curiosity. Thank you, Will.
We thank you, my brother. Is there a query at this time?
I have one that's not directly on this topic, but I was kind of wondering what the role of the social memory complex was to aid the development of consciousness.
We are aware of your query, my brother, but are having trouble with a response because of the fact that, as far as we are aware, consciousness is and is not in need of being, shall we say, developed.
Growth is perhaps a better term.
Would you rephrase the question, my brother?
I was examining the social memory complex, and as we enter the sub-density 7 of the third density, Ra referred to that, we can actually form these structures. And I was wondering how that would interact with our, pretty much, our spiritual growth. I mean, why does the social memory predominate the fourth density? What did we learn from this experience?
We are now far more aware of your query, my brother. The social memory complex is as if you had opened your arms and said, everybody in. As if you were the creator and you had accepted everyone into your heaven that was about you. The energy of this formation enhances and intensifies the purity and the clarity of the individual's ability to open into unconditional love. In other words, to become a part of the social memory complex. So as soon as a social memory complex begins to be formed, simply by leaning into the power of that group being or essence, you are allowing the self to become more and more attuned to that sublime or supernal nature of self, which truly feeds into the social memory complex. You see, my brother, when experience is taken in at the level of consensus reality and conscious thought, much of the detail of the actual transactions taking place between entities is lost. The nuances are washed away by the grossness of words and actions. And the intentions, the energies that are being exchanged between two people or a person and a place or a person and a situation are grossly oversimplified so that they can be consciously understood. Even in the most subtle and quick minds, there is that limit of rapidity of the accumulation of fact and the intuition, shall we say, the ability for direct insight is hampered. What the social memory complex does as entities move into it and begin to, shall we say, get it, is to empower and enable the personal shell of personality to relax and lift away from specificity so that it may become less reactive and more stable. The personality shell of third density is unnecessary in fourth density. And the great gift of the seventh sub-octave of third density is that the social memory complex has enough energy now to be accessed by intention. May we answer you further, my brother?
One quick point. Would the attempts to form a social memory complex here, or more specifically at Avalon, be in any way disruptive to the non-human life that's there now? What would you refer to as devas and the plants and animals being of lower densities?
We are, those of Kuo-en, are aware of your query, my brother. Indeed, were social memory being attempted as if in a vacuum, as if only with people, certainly this would be perhaps less than optimal in terms of the energy of that portion of Gaia to which you refer. And this is why the instrument in its talk with you at an earlier time had the intuition that the land must be a portion of the questing for the social memory complex being formed upon its sacred ground. To form a social memory complex with the full cooperation of the earth that it contains is to make each place so included a sacred space. It most definitely would be appropriate to include the earth itself as a part of the social memory complex. For the earth is a very sentient and very conscious being. May we answer you further, my brother?
You would see no problem with second density life being exposed to a fourth density concept. I'm thinking basically the plants and things we would like to grow there. Now my concern is a lot of times when, you know, higher concepts are introduced too early in the developmental stage, it might bias the development. As I see here with the Confederation introduced, you know, the entities from other worlds to our planet. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at?
We are those of Kuo-In are aware of your query, my brother. If it were forced upon this entity, Gaia, that such and such a group wished to do such and such a thing here, and it was simply told to the land, then, yes, my brother, there would be the lack of respect. However, the second density and the first density, unlike the third density, dwell within the creation of the Father that the fourth density dwells within. So that, in a way, moving into the social memory complex energy is returning to oneness with the creation of the Father, and indeed works more synergistically than third density is able to with these nature spirits and with the planet itself. May we answer you further, my brother?
That clarified it sufficiently. Thank you.
We thank you, my brother. Is there a query at this time?
Well, I usually wouldn't ask a question like this, but I'm just really curious. How did it come to be that three of us, Bruce Varr and I, all had a dream about a volcano, and two of us had a dream about a Polynesian named Bob? Could you maybe speak to the symbolism and why it was that we had three similar dreams, please?
We are those at the Kuo-In are aware of your query, my brother, and as you perhaps surmised, we leave this work to you. Is there a final query at this time?
I have a question. We've noticed of late that we've many times caught on a call psychic reading, or as I would call the Dark Brotherhood. We've had myself and those of my soul group have had very, very, should I say, intensive interference. And I had asked, the House of Seven, or as I call the dwarves, about this, and they were quite reluctant on giving me any details and specific, as I recall that similarly I had asked you at one time, and were also reluctant on giving too specific information. And I'm just opinion and your ideas. What is the meaning or spiritual reason behind that?
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The nature of so-called psychic greeting or psychic attack or the influence of darkness is such that it seems to be coming in from without and seems to be a threat that is outer to one's own self. And yet, the mechanism by which these greetings are attracted is the desire to stand in the light. The harder and more fervent the desire to be of the light and to serve in one's highest and best, the more sharply delineated are those portions of the shadow side of yourself that have not come into full harmony and acceptance within the self as loved, forgiven, and redeemed. Only you as a self, falling in love with the self, and going through a full circuit of forgiving, accepting, redeeming of self, can do the work that enables one not to have the chinks in the armor, as this instrument would say, of light. That armor of light shall always have chinks. It shall always, within third density incarnation, be imperfect. Because were you able to be perfect, it would be time for you to move on. And you would simply not any longer be of third density. You would go through the experience of physical death so that your energy body, yourself, would be free to move into a more appropriate garment for continuing your experience. Consequently, those who seek to stand the closest to the light are those who shall bring about the rightness or readiness for the experience of being tried or tested or greeted or attacked or overshadowed. These are all subjective terms which describe a situation where one feels invaded or intruded upon or encroached upon. What is encroaching upon the self in a metaphysical sense in psychic reading is the shadow side of one's own self. So when it is experienced from without, then it is well to take that mirror that is the dog barking at one, the wolf biting at one, and look to see within the self what portion of that shadow side, what vagrant part of the past, what relationship that has not been thought upon sufficiently is truly causing the distortion within that has caused the wolf to bite just in such and such a way. So that responsibility is taken. And then once responsibility is taken, and it is seen that there is nothing to fear, for it is only the self, then it is helpful to be able to begin to release the fear and the contraction around this event, so that it no longer is a threat. It is simply that which is occurring. Then the work towards healing of the situation may be done without the additional stumbling block of fear blocking one's own path of forward progress. May we answer you further, my brother?
It's an interesting thing for me to consider. It's something I'll have to think on. Thank you very much.
We thank you, my brother. We find it is time to depart from this group as this group's energy somewhat wanes. And it is well to leave this instrument while there is still plenty of energy to make a good farewell. And so we do offer you farewell, reminding you always that we are with you whenever you should mentally request it, to strengthen and support you without words, but with love and energy. We leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are those known to you as the principle of Ukul. Adonai. Adonai.